Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Collapsing Game Shelf, a podcast by a bunch of people who have way too many board games. I'm here with...
Justin.
Debbie.
And Adam.
And I'm Tom, I forgot to mention.
This is great.
Yeah. Does your sickness come through?
Not too bad, actually.
Justin is pretending that he's a DJ.
And that he's not sick, although he is.
Yeah, we're all a bit sick.
So if this episode sounds a little questionable, well, just blame it on the sickness. Yeah.
If everyone sounds like they have gravel in their throat, they do.
I'll try my best to cut it all out, but we're only human. Anyway, I'm Tom. I may have cut that off earlier.
You have to do it in a joyous way.
And today's game is World of Warcraft, the board game, brought to you by Fantasy Flight Games. It's from 2005, so it's pretty old. I don't even think it's in print anymore.
It is not.
I do not believe it is.
But
this is your moneymaker.
This is the moneymaker?
This is the game that is going to...
Yes, I'm going to sell this game and it's going
make
to...
make you a house.
And it's going to make me so much money when I sell it on eBay for $100, $110.
Did you know that Eric Lang was the designer on this?
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to know who Eric Lang is?
He's made a bunch of games.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Eric Just making Lang, sure.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Eric Lang is the brain behind Blood Rage, Rising Sun.
Oh.
But the lead designer was still Christian T. Peterson before he left.
Before he left? Where did he go?
Well, he retired from Fantasy Flight recently.
Oh, recently. As of this recording.
Yes.
Nobody's going to listen to this. It doesn't matter.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's probably fine. I don't really have a lot to say about this, to be honest. So, we played World of Warcraft, the board game. I'm going to go over a quick overview of how it works. It's deceptively not that hard to play, but the rules are 40 pages of nonsense, which is not ideal. But basically, the game is trying to... And you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, Debbie, did you ever play WoW?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So it's trying to, it's trying to do the thing where it's trying to simulate a video game as a board game. The idea being that you are on one of two teams. You're either on the Horde, which is all the, like, quote-unquote ugly people, and the Alliance, which is all the pretty people. Humans, elves... that sort of thing are on the Alliance, and then orcs and trolls and stuff are on the Horde.
Dwarves aren't that pretty, though.
I was just going to say, so are the blue side the pretty people and the red side the ugly people?
Dwarves are a little rough and tumble.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's kind of just how they ended up getting separated out. But, like, yeah, the Horde has all of the, like...
nice people. Well, not the Horde. I mean, the Alliance has all the nice people.
The Alliance Horde makes it sound very, like...
There's a lot going on, because, like, Warcraft, the original video game, was from, like, 1990?
Something like that,
I'm coming up with that number completely out of my ass.
No, that sounds about right, because we had the shareware installed in the computer lab at school.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, there's a lot going on. Like, once you get to World of Warcraft, the video game, there's, like, 25 years of stuff that have happened before. There was Warcraft 1, Warcraft 2, Warcraft 3. You know, back then you'd have a manual for your video game that explained all of the lore.
Yeah.
And that happened in 1 and 2. You'd have, like, this big thick manual telling you all this stuff. It had illustrations in it. It was really cool. I miss those days sometimes. But there's a lot going on. So, like, we're not going to get into the whole thing because I mean we would be here for a while and we'd probably get flamed at some point for getting something wrong, but the Horde used to be the like demon possessed bad guys in Warcraft 1, and the Alliance were the ones that were kind of getting invaded, and you could play either side, and like that sort of evolves until you get to World of Warcraft, where everyone's kind of the same brand of being a dick,
or less.
Yeah, or less. I mean, it's not it's not cut and dry that, like, the Horde are the bad guys and that the Alliance are the good guys. They're just different shades of, you know, they just don't really like each other. They don't get along.
Right.
They have their separate parts of the map, and that's kind of what they're trying to emulate in this.
The Undead are kind of the bad guys.
Well, the Forsaken? They're just misunderstood.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, like, again, we don't need to, we don't want to get into this. There's, like, yeah, there's a lot going on. Especially if you're, like, I don't know, if you're talking about the latest expansions of World of Warcraft, which I think they're bringing back to Classic or something soon.
In the summer. Yeah, it's supposed to be. It's supposed
so
to be.
So weird. Anyway, this is trying to emulate that. So you've got two teams. You've got your Horde and your Alliance, and everybody gets together, 2 to 6 people. You pick your characters. You get your class. Do you want to be a mage? Do you want to be a paladin? Do you want to be a rogue with your knives? You get your character, you get your teams, you get put down on the board, you get some stuff, right? You get your little, you get your pack of cards that represent what your abilities can be, and your...
You get your individual, like, each class gets its individual stack of cards which represent its talents and its abilities that you have to buy with gold, just like the video game. Yeah, it's trying to make everybody unique.
Yeah, so I think that's where Eric Lang's influence probably comes from, because he's big on, like, the asymmetric kind of thing. That's his, when I look at what he's made over the years, that's kind of his jam. So every person that plays gets their own unique thing that you're then going around on the map and trying to complete quests that come up. So cards that tell you, go here and kill these guys, and then go here and kill these guys. You do those, you get points which let you level up, then you can get more spells, you can get talents, so you get more powerful, more items, and basically just ends up being just you chucking, like, 20 dice onto the board.
Potentially 21 dice.
At the end of the day, you're going around on the map and getting into fights with stuff and managing your energy, you know, and then just chucking a shitload of dice. That's pretty well, there's a lot of complicated rules around how the combat works. There's a lot of complicated rules around how the, like, your energy management works. I mean, they're not complicated, but they're not exactly simple. It's not like roll the thing and then see how many sixes you get.
Oh,
it's,
yeah, no, yeah. I would agree with that, because that's one thing I wrote down, is that I just essentially, for me, I just played a game of rolling dice. Like, I have no idea how you counted stuff. I have no idea what you did with the different colors of it. I don't have a clue. That was...
Yeah. It's...
somewhere well beyond me.
The complexity of the game comes from the various talents you get. You're trying to come up with, you're trying to make your character in a way so that you get to basically roll the maximum number of dice, or change dice, or, you know, do things in such a way to make sure that all of your fights turn out good, right? And that's the fun part of the game, is advancing your character, getting them cool items and cool abilities that work well together. But at the end of the day, it's all about trying to roll the best results you can in effort of you being the first one to go and fight the main villain that is picked out from, like, a set of, there, I think there's like 5 or 6 of them that are sort of there. There's a maximum number of 30 turns, which is kind of nice. If nobody's killed the boss by the end of turn 30, then you just get into a big row, which we didn't actually look up the rules for PvP combat, so I don't actually know how that works out. I think I've played this before, and I don't remember the PvP being interesting or fun at all. It didn't seem to have a lot of benefit to trying to fight the other people.
The PvP works pretty much exactly like finding a monster. So each team would roll their dice individually and then put all the markers in the little piles and assign damage. And it's potential to just kill each other on the same round. And you just both go to a graveyard and keep going from there, because there's no consequence to death.
And there's no net gain on the other to PvP either that I've found.
No. Sometimes it could even help out the other team, because it just sends them to a nearest graveyard, which they might want to be at.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys had that at one point, I think, right?
Where it worked out great.
Yeah, you guys went to the graveyard because it got you closer to something.
Yeah, I think you guys purposely killed each yourselves so that you could get to the objective that was...
Yeah, closer to the graveyard.
As purposely as... I suppose purposely in the sense that we didn't use rerolls or dice modification techniques to try and make successes. We're just like, you know what? Like, this is really a benefit for us just just to lose.
But yeah, unless I've... There's obviously more going on, or it wouldn't be stuffed into a box that is about 4 feet by a foot wide. It should be mentioned that the box is huge.
Yes.
It has, and there's no space left in it. It is full of stuff. It's got minis representing all of the bad guys that you could want. It's got miniatures for all of the heroes. Mm-hmm. It's got tokens up the butt, cards everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So many dice, so many eight-sided dice. It's chock full of stuff, which is probably why I bought it in the first place. Because, like, you open that bad boy up, and it looks really cool.
It does. It's got plastic.
It's got so much
plastic toys.
So many plastic things. It's a toy box.
It is.
It's a toy box is what it is. It's
a toy box for adults.
It's one of those classic Fantasy Flight coffin boxes that they don't make anymore because they're ridiculously large. It's the best.
Yeah. Oh, man. I miss those coffin boxes. I know. Not so much now, since it takes up way too much room.
Oh, yeah.
There's more going on, but I'm not going to go over it because there is a 40-page rule book that has just an encyclopedia of stuff in here. It even includes a guide to your first game on account of the fact that it's so horrifically complicated that you could mess up stuff on your first turns, which is a nice touch. Like, if you're gonna blow 6 hours doing something, you know, probably don't want to hose yourself right off the bat. Just kind of nice.
It's a nice touch that it's only a single page as well, the guide to the first game, which just goes over the nice general rules without going on the... Some of them, I mean, the manual has a single page dedicated to a single nuance that you might not even encounter in a game because it's dedicated to a single event card that could or could not pop up. So there's a lot of excess.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this game, for sure. There's stuff everywhere.
So yeah, this is going to be the end of the rules explanation because I'm not going over this. Suffice it to say, there's a lot going on, but we've covered more or less the gist of it. You have a couple of actions every turn. You move your dude, or you fight something, or, you know, rest.
I think that's about it.
Go shop.
Yeah.
Fly. You know, all the stuff you do in WoW.
You can choose to be independent, or you can choose to play as a team. Mm-hmm. Like, there's definitely two.
Yeah, there's sort of a risk reward thing going on. Because you can buddy up and go it together, which is sort of what you can do in World of Warcraft. You know, you can get five people together if you want in WoW. You can get up to, you know, you and your, I guess, two other buddies can just, like, go running around marauding the countryside and scouring it of all the gnolls. Or you can sort of go by yourself and hope that you don't get axed in the face, which is kind of what happened to Debbie, I think. Yeah,
good time. Maybe. Might have had something to do with my... partner, and you can't see the air quotes, but
it happened to me as well. I just didn't count. I didn't do the math before you went into the fight.
It was Debbie. Do you have 10 dice to roll? No. Okay, don't do it.
Well, that was the math that I didn't do.
That's not math.
That's math.
It's
basic
math. That is just a basic.
It's basic counting.
That's a question.
I assumed you seemed really capable, so I assumed you could do it.
Yeah.
We didn't want to mansplain you by saying that you couldn't do it.
Oh, wow. Really? That's where you're going to go with that? Oh,
take
dear.
Take a high ground, Tom.
Justin just thought, she's a strong, independent woman and doesn't need me to tell her what to do. And then you got murdered. All right. Do we want to move on to...
Our thoughts.
Yeah, well, unless you want the Adams rulebook intermission.
I don't think
the rulebook
intermission. That's a part of the thoughts, I think.
Is it?
That's a part of the thoughts.
It was almost like a dedicated segment of Adam's.
Can it get a little bumper in front of it? Like,
Adam's rule book corner.
Fantasy Flight is known for making convoluted, overwritten, ridiculous rule books. 40 pages of what appears to me to be what? 8x8? 10x10? You know?
It's okay. Yeah. Good 10x10 there.
Good 10x10 page size. And it is loaded. Like, it is chock full of three columns wide rules and just faff for so much of it.
Like, are we talking like 12 point Times New Roman? Like,
yeah, pretty well.
Like, look at the rules on combat. It takes up about 6 pages.
I mean, there's pictures.
Sure, but the bulk of it is still, the bulk of it is still text. It is heavy text, I think, like, and I mean, thankfully, game producers are starting to move away from this to where they are having more condensed, well-written rule books. Obviously, this one comes from 2005, so I can't, you know, if I had a time machine. No,
this is what you'd spend your time machine bucks on, is going back and fixing slapping rule books? Christian Peterson and telling him to write a better rule book.
Yes.
Okay, so I have a question for Adam and his rule book corner.
Yeah.
So do you think that the issue is that Fantasy Flight just has a poor layout and a poor choice mechanism for how they make their rule books? Or do you think that it's Fantasy Flight makes their games too convoluted and has the need to have such a convoluted rule book? Like, they're two different things, right? They're two different things.
It's more, right? I think it's more a column A than it is a column B, because there are other games that are just as complicated and just as deep, but have better written rule books that are easier to understand. Or at least now, in, you know, we've kind of gotten to the age where a lot of companies will have, if you go to our website, we can show you a video that explains all kinds of stuff, which makes it somewhat easier. I mean, you're still, at that point, you're still sitting through maybe a 20-minute tutorial video, which can be a pain in the ass as well. But I mean, like, this one even comes with its own goddamn index. Like, you need an index to go through your rule book? That is excessive.
I don't mind an index. I like what Fantasy Flight has done with their new games.
Yes.
Sorry, Tom.
So what?
Where they've divided it from a learn to play and then an index.
That's which okay.
It's nice because there are a lot of board game players that are very much just, you know, for lack of a better term, rule lawyers.
Mm.
That they will go through and try to find any small point that will give them an advantage, or we'll just argue about the wording just because, you know, a lot of these guys are not English majors. they're not going to talk about, you know, your prose. So there can be a lot of nuance to a rule or just a misinterpretation. So while this is a slog to get through, by the end, it is quite clear what each part does.
Yeah.
It just needs to be laid out better, which they've gotten better, I think, in the future.
Coming to more recent times, yes, I will agree with you that things have gotten a lot better.
I think we've said the same thing about all these rule books every single time.
But I think, like, we've played some more recent games, ish. I don't know. Fantasy Flight in general has always stuck out to me as being one of the worst companies for the rule books.
Right. I was going to throw something in there, but I don't know. Now I've almost forgotten. The difference to me, like, this happens in software a lot as well, is, like, if you have the people, it depends on how the rule book shakes out, ends up being a reflection on how much the company or the designer is trying to create a cohesive experience rather than just trying to create a board game. So, like, if you have a company that is, or a group that is trying to come up with something that they want, you know, from point A to point B, from the start to the end, is, like, a good thing the whole way through, you will get a good game with good art, good assets, and a good rule book that sort of explains things in a way that a human being wants to understand them. So that's how we ended up with, you know, a training manual and the index for the weirdos for some of this stuff. But, like, if you are only focused on your product and, like, how cool all this stuff is, like, you might just, like, clearly, you just dump it into a list of tables and move on. And, like, that's kind of what all of the companies I've ever worked for doing software have done. It's like, what do? Oh, we just explain what it does. Until recently, we don't give a lot of thought into, like, how is an operator or the individual running the station actually going to want to understand how something works or go through it. We just, like, yeah, this is what it does, right? And that's the difference. And I think it's just a matter of, like, Fantasy Flight sticks out because it is, or was, or is the biggest name in the game. So they should have had the facilities to get these things set up in such a way that, like, your total package is good, which is probably why it's so annoying to see even 12 years ago, 13 years ago, 14 years ago now.
14 years ago.
Like, they probably weren't as big back then, which is why this thing ends up being such a tire fire.
I'm just wondering, is that a legitimate question?
I think this game is probably a bit overwrought as it is.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a problem with how, like, I mean, you could almost argue either way, I suppose.
Well, I'm always interested in the fact that when you have a game that has such a convoluted, like, such a large rule book, I always wonder why. Like, what is it? Like, is it the game that's at fault, right? And it's the game is just, there's just too much, and it's like we have to go into all these, like, little minuscule, tiny little details where we've put nooks and crannies where did they need to put nooks and crannies there. Or is it, you know, like, we're really trying to create this experience that you can delve into and feel like you're part of the game, right? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah, I think in this case they probably just jammed as much crap as they could to make it feel like the video game.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they just have to explain all the little bits because there's 1,000 bits and that's what people come for, is they want them bits.
Yeah.
Them bits.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is also... I mean, I think from our perspective, like, we have played collectively a lot of board games.
Mm-hmm. I think scientifically a lot, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of core mechanics that we, I think, innately understand. Like, with the dice rolling game, oh, you got to hit this number, put in this column. Okay, that's just innate. But I think also with this game, since it has pretty good production values, and it is a tie-in for, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that potentially may never have played a board game besides something like Monopoly before. Potentially.
Sure.
So you have to design a rule book that can explain basic concepts of board games and the subtle nuances of this particular game to somebody that may never have played a board game before, while still providing all the information to someone who just wants to roll some dice, because they understand, oh, I just need to roll dice, and then each one goes into a different column. Okay. I mean, that's almost what combat is in this game, is you roll three different types of dice and you put them in different columns, and then you compare numbers. You could put that in a paragraph in this manual. It has to go over every point and then the two-step combat process, because it needs to explain it to somebody who's never opened a board game before.
Let me tell you, if I had only played Monopoly and then I was like, man, this is the game that I want to play, I would be running so far in the opposite direction.
I don't think you would pick up the 10-pound coffin box either.
Well, I mean, it could be like WoW was a really big thing.
Well,
so
that's more of what it is than anything, right? Like, I think that it's buy our t-shirts, buy our hats, buy our stickers, buy our, like, where can we get more money? Right?
Yeah.
I think that's more of what that is than anything.
But on the same side of that coin, the manual should have been a lot simpler if you're also trying to market this to Johnny's first board game.
Yeah.
Imagine Johnny's first board game and he pulls a 40-page behemoth of a rule book out of the box.
That's why I'm saying I'd run the opposite direction. I'd be like, no, I never want to play a board game.
Like, I remember being 9.
just really yearning to slog through a massive rule book.
Well, I think one of my first board games was like Hero Quest, and that wasn't exactly a non-complicated thing.
That's true.
Tough,
but yeah, no, I get your point. Can we move on from?
Yeah, I was gonna say, are we out this of rule book Adam's corner?
Has rounded all corners and become a rule book square.
Welcome to the rule book podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
Where we analyze,
pick apart your rule book.
Where we bitch about the rule book for 20 minutes. Who wants to go first on thoughts?
Hey, all right. So we've already, like I said, we've already gone across the rule book. We've got that taken care of.
we beat that one to death.
It is, yes, it is.
You didn't even have to read this fucking thing. Come on,
I know.
Man.
I
you're welcome. We had it set up before you got there.
Yeah, it took us like 2 hours to kind of like go through the manual.
Oh, God.
Yeah, just set up the game the first time? Yeah.
Right. I didn't have to read the rule book. The game was already set up by the time I showed
up. You're welcome.
Yeah. Tom took care of that one. Thank you for taking that bullet.
And Bilbo.
And Bilbo. Or Bilbo. Justin. But nicknames.
Sorry, this is the reason why I have Justin written in very large letters on here. It's because I'm supposed to call him Justin, not Bilbo.
I honestly don't differentiate the two anymore.
Yeah, I feel like our listeners might not
that's
be
true.
In the
I think
same
that
boat.
That's probably the first time, so yeah.
It's fine.
But we digress.
Well, it's gonna happen eventually. Might as well be now.
The speed I react to win is just like, it's you know,
it's
no
disgusting.
Different. So this game is long. It is so long. What, I mean, could we just... We didn't even finish the game. We didn't even finish all 30 turns.
Quick question. You played WoW, right?
Yes.
How long would like a major raid take?
Oof.
That kind of depends on
where there's a lot of factors there. Like a dungeon, like if you're going in appropriately leveled for a dungeon, depending on what the dungeon is, some of them obviously ran longer than others.
A professional operation.
45 minutes.
Yeah, 45 minutes.
Really, 45.
Like, I mean, like a raid, you're more talking 2 to 3 hours.
Okay. I just wanted a reference between that amount of time and the length of this board game.
And I mean, yeah. And
I'm sorry to interrupt.
And to be fair, I've probably played more digital WoW than the three of you probably combined, as I just stuck with it a lot longer than. Well, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying that it happened. But yeah, like if you're with a decent guild and you're doing a raid that, you know, you kind of have on quote unquote farm mode, or you don't find the raid that challenging anymore. And like I said, you could probably clear the entire thing in a few hours, 2, 3. Now, we didn't even finish playing all 30 turns of our game. I think we stopped around turn 26, 25?
22, 24, I think.
Okay, even less than that. We stopped around 22, 24. And we were at the 4-hour mark?
Oh, no, we were past that.
We were higher. 5 or 6 hours.
5 or 6 hours. Yeah, because they were 2 hours longer than us.
And we were playing, we tried it out 2 hours before you got there.
Yeah, because they were at 8+ hours.
Yeah.
Yeesh, like that, you know. And again, one of my concerns about Twilight Imperium is the length of the game.
Say apologize to Tom.
I apologize to anybody who is a Twilight Imperium
fanboy
enthusiast.
Yeah, fan person. It's, you know, like I said, I'm sure the game's great. It's not for me. I don't have that kind of time to play board games. Well, I do, but I don't have time to play one board game. It just turned into a drag. With that being said, I felt that like some turns took me 30 seconds to do my turn. Boom, 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 done. Right. And that's not like the early turns took me 30 seconds. Then it gradually got longer. That was some turns later on in the game was like 30 seconds. Like I'm moving. Yeah, that's all I can do this turn. Okay, carry on. And then other turns took the better part of 30 to 45 minutes because you're in combat and you're trying to move around. And it's like, oh, well, I have to do this combat before I can do this combat before this happens. And then, oh, you know.
Can I say something? Sorry.
Of course.
Just right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
So I found it very swingy in the sense that it's there are times when you and yes, please swing for me.
That's so a swing dancing break. Yeah.
So there are times when, so the split was, it was Tom and Adam against Justin and I.
The winning team versus the non-winning team.
Nobody yes. won that game.
That's
well, you're not wrong.
But.
But we would have won.
When, by the time we finished the game, it was very clear that Adam and Tom were going to win that game. But. And yes, I just said that, and it is on record. But yeah. Nonetheless, I found it very swingy in the sense that there are times when you guys would be, you know, doing your 30-minute term, and Justin and I were like, well, we're already done our turn because we were waiting for you guys to finish your thing, and we knew it wasn't going to affect what we were doing, so we just did our turn. So you can do two turns in a row now, right? And it went both ways, where there are times when, you know, that the one team is doing that 30-minute turn of, okay, like, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do with these dice and counting all your dice? And then once you're like halfway up, the other team just looks at you and goes, thanks, you can go again now.
Yeah.
Like, it was very swingy in that way. So I had to throw that in the middle of your thought because I knew I was going to forget if I didn't say it.
No, but. that's fine. It's another thing is... Another thing with it, again, between, you know, yourself and Justin and myself and Tom, is that, like, you know, we just basically avoided each other in a PvP aspect because it was like the PvP rules at a quick glance were confusing. It didn't really look like there was any benefit for the winning team. A lot of times it didn't really look like there was a whole ton of drawback for the losing team. Sometimes even the losing team would actually get benefit because it puts them closer to where they're trying to be. The PvP, just it feels like it was pasted on top as like an afterthought. As you continue to play the game and you're leveling up and you're getting more items from completing quests and yada, 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 you know, it feels like the combat snowballs quite a bit. As you start off, you know, maybe you're rolling three or four dice total. By the end of the game, by turn 20, whatever we got to, you know, I was literally my character by itself. I was playing a hunter. I was playing a hunter, and I would literally pick up all 21 dice, shake them, and throw them on the table, and be like, okay, what happens now? You know, it just...
You cross-reference what you rolled against the handy table that they've provided you of what you're hitting.
Handy.
You necessary, I guess. Necessary, yeah. Yeah, there's no other way to do that.
It kept the board less cluttered, which it already very much became.
Yeah, it was, for sure.
Anyway, carry on.
I just feel that, like, the theme was good. I liked the theme. I felt that they did the video game justice in a sense. Like, I think that there was a big potential for this to fall flat, for it to be like, we're just going to try and hammer this theme and just make it something amazing and have them kind of really screw it up. I thought the theme was well represented in this, the cards, the minis, the concept, all that sort of stuff. Like, I get it. I felt World of Warcraft coming out of the board game. With that being said, I think that especially from a board game standpoint, at least myself personally, I've kind of gotten past this. I feel that there's games that achieve the same thing or more in a shorter time frame. And I would tend to lean more towards that, those sorts of games, because, I mean, time is a valuable resource that, as I continue to get older, I find that I have less and less of.
I have to start prefacing this podcast with how old we are. Yes. A bunch of old people who have too many board games.
That's the gist of what... That's the bulk of my thoughts. I mean, I may have the odd thing to chuck in every now and then, but that's the meat and potatoes of my,
like you
of
do.
My opinion. Yeah.
Debbie? Debbie?
What did you think about this?
My thoughts are very... I just got bored with it, really. I mean, there's one thing that I found really interesting, which I didn't realize until I guess we kind of crossed that path, was that you're gaining points, gaining XP until you hit level 5, and then it doesn't matter anymore. Like, that to me was like, that was a big, like, nosedive. It was like, so you're trying to get to the point where you're like, okay, I need to gain a point because I want to level up. And so you're doing all this stuff to do that. And then all of the sudden it's just like, yeah, it doesn't matter anymore. And it's the same issue that I think Adam at one point had said while we were playing about the money, you know, like you're rolling in all this, like you're finding ways to make money and to get money. And then all of a sudden you're getting it and it does nothing anymore. Like, it's just, yeah, like this massive plateau on that front. And I mean, in a sense that happens, I guess, in the real game, because you peak your player no matter what, right? Like, there's a point where you can't really better your player anymore, but I think that you still gain from it, do you not? Like, I mean, you can still buy different things and you can still kind
Are you
of,
talking in the video game?
Yeah, like you can
oh, yeah,
still
yeah.
like
there's always something to do.
Yeah, there's like, always something to do with your stuff that you're getting. And I felt like in this game, your XP, your money, it just all like, it's this massive uphill battle, and then you hit it and it's just like grind.
And when would you
say it's the grind world?
When would you say that you hit that level 5? I mean, maybe by the midway point of the game, turn 15, 16?
Probably a little past that. I think we hit level 5 at around...
Oh, I didn't hit level 5 because right. I stopped giving a shit. Because when I realized that you couldn't go further than level 5, I was like, what the...
So I think I hit level 5 probably turn 16, 18?
Okay. It's still...
Near the end.
I mean, it's... Wow. 16
well,
is one turn
well,
past
no, I think
the
it's,
middle,
I think
right?
it's 18. So we're okay. a little past the middle.
It's two-thirds of the way through.
Yeah, I just, I don't know, like, I feel like that's, like, very anticlimactic. Like, I got to the point, like, it almost felt like you should hit the peak of your, hit the peak of your levels, right? So your strongest abilities, but then beyond that, maybe you can carry more abilities, right? So you can start kind of compounding what you have the ability to do. Like, I don't know, like there, I feel like there has to be a mechanism. Like, I realize that you level out, but I feel like there should be something else.
But you were so like, and this happens in World of Warcraft, the game too, is you had a goal in mind that you were trying, like the fun thing for you was gaining a level, getting some new abilities and trying to find something that worked. Right.
Yeah.
And then once you hit level 5, that disappears. And that's true for World of Warcraft too. Like, a lot of people just like the process of going 1 to 60 or 1 to 80.
Yeah.
And then saying like, "Well, I've kind of experienced that," and then they like start over again.
Yeah.
So you're not really, there's nothing weird about what you felt, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, for a board game, that seemed really odd to me. Like, just...
And I think part of that is that they maybe didn't do a good job of trying to, like, push you towards the goal.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really have a good understanding of how powerful you need to be before you go fight Kel'Thuzad or whatever.
Yeah.
You just, all of us were trying to get as much stuff as possible so that we could maybe try to go, but yeah. It's kind of like a risk-reward thing, because maybe you go a little bit earlier than you should have, and then you get wiped out or whatever.
Well,
but we weren't really trying, because we were just trying to gain levels at the beginning, and then I felt like partway through, we just stopped caring.
Yeah.
And so we were just doing the thing that made the most sense, which was like, let's go here, fight this guy, get some more stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that might be part of it, right? Is it's not a typical board game mechanism, right? Like your end goal isn't get the most points to win, right? And I think that might be my issue. My issue is I go into a board game thinking, okay, like I have to get the most points and get the most money and I right? Like, my experience is how I win, whereas this board game is built much more video game-esque, where, you know, the end goal and your purpose and all that kind of stuff isn't built necessarily on the winning the most XP and stuff like that.
Yeah, if I could just chime in here for a second. It's... No?
No.
Oh, well, I'm going to do it anyway. Like you were saying, it's... I don't know if it was trying to be too true to being a video game or something, but there was no, like, the win condition was just a pass-fail. Like, you beat the boss or you didn't. You reached turn 30 or you got tired of it and left. you know, there's no feeling of gradually working your way to winning. Like, there's no, like, even all the quests are very much the same. You go to a place, you kill something, you get money, experience, and a random item.
Or you die but don't actually
die.
Yeah,
or you die and you lose a turn, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only consequence of dying, is you don't get the money, experience.
Lose a turn, or is it a free move, Justin?
Sometimes it's both.
You don't lose your money. You don't lose your money, you don't lose your experience, you don't lose your items, you don't, nothing. And, yeah. But even in a video game, does that happen? Like, when you die?
Not popular ones.
No, but yeah. It just seems like such a...
With that, yeah, it takes the threat of losing a battle away, because it's just like, oh, I guess I just lost a turn and this game's just going to go on longer. That's the consequences of dying.
Yeah, I just got to go try it one more time.
Yeah, so it takes away some of that, I don't know, risk, nuance, I'm not sure. And I think some of it is also just, yeah, because of the, if some of the quests actually had, not necessarily victory points, but maybe it would get you something special that would make the end boss easier. Then it would be like, okay, we need to prioritize these missions. It's not just, this one gets me the most gold, so let's go do that one.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it's also like a... I found, and I could be entirely wrong, like maybe I played World of Warcraft wrong, but I feel like even when you were playing World of Warcraft, there was a difference, right? There was a difference in the missions, quote-unquote missions that you did, right? Like they
could be fun.
Yeah.
And none of these were fun.
No,
they were all the same.
Yeah.
Right. They were fun once.
It was go to a place, roll a bunch of dice.
It was fun to roll a bunch of dice.
Yeah, one or you lost.
But you could have been playing any game where you were rolling a bunch of dice.
Like it was just, to me, it was very flat. It may very well just be that I didn't care versus I didn't understand, or I didn't care to understand. But I wrote down, I didn't understand the scoring or the combat part. Like, there's three different colors of dice. I don't know what each color did. It was, give me a bunch of bloody dice. I'm going to roll them. My little cards tell me how many dice I get, which ones I get to re-roll. I have no idea how we beat things or how things hurt me or anything like that. That was just stupid beyond me. And like I said, I don't know if it's because I just didn't care to understand, because I was like, hey, screw this. Or it was just,
Justin is
nicely telling us that it might be his fault. But I didn't ask either, though, right? Like, at no point in time was I like, hey, wait, how is that happening, or why is that happening? Mm. I was just like, yeah, you know what? That just seems like watching you count points out and count all that stuff just felt like just not worth it to me. I was just like, I'm just going to let Justin do that. And so for me, I I essentially played a game of rolling dice and smiled. There was no objective for me. It was get as many dice as possible to roll as many dice as possible, because I did not give a shit. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add to that, Justin?
Oh, a couple things. Just more on just the nuances and how I wanted it to be better. This game had promise. Like, it does have... It's not... Like, I actually kind of enjoyed it, so... But most of the enjoyment came from, like, leveling up, getting new stuff. Mm-hmm. Because the combat was very simple besides this, you know... For having 8 pages dedicated to it, the combat was just super simple. You would show up, read your cards, gather your dice pool, roll them. You would die or kill it, and if you didn't, you just keep rolling until one of you is dead. And that was interesting the first couple times. Then there was nothing really to it. You would just do the math and see if you could take this thing on. If you could, you'd go kill it. But because of the dice pool limitations, you would show up with your partner to help them out, and you would just max out the dice when you were like level 2 or 3 half the time. And so it became a case of either being able to just wipe it out or dying by yourself.
Okay, sorry. You reminded me of something that I remember. So when we were fighting something and we rolled and we failed, and you were like, no, it's okay. We just keep rolling until somebody dies. And I was like, excuse me, what did you just say? You could sit there, literally, and keep rolling the same dice like 5 or 6 frickin' times. I feel like a fail is a fail. But not in this game. It no. was like, no, let's kick that dead horse a couple times.
There was no way to escape either. You just kept going.
Right? You had one card that allowed you to escape, but that was one of your class abilities. Yeah.
The Mage had Ice Block.
Yeah.
I was like, you could get out, but nobody else did.
That is beyond me. That shocked the hell out of me when you said that, because to me it was like, I failed. Oh shit. I just died. I lose my turn and go? No. Don't be silly. Let's sit here.
We've got to settle down. We got to do this
battle of attrition here.
Yeah. That to me was...
You didn't factor in your attrition damage?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what that is. I know I had +1 attrition. I still do not know what that is. And please, Jesus, do not explain
it
to me.
So let me explain to you what attrition is.
I do not want
to
know.
Is that a thing in the game? Or is that just like a thing they just... came up to just add extra damage at the end?
It's not in the digital game.
Okay.
It's a representation of like some classes don't do a lot of damage at once, but they're just like
kind of like a damage over time grindy, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, you can keep going. I just had to get that in there because that you just reminded me of that, and I just remember being like, "What?"
Yeah. Where was I? The main problem I had with the quests was that they were all the same. There was zero nuance throughout the game besides leveling up and getting a selection of new cards. And there were a few random events that would pop up every 4 turns or something, but most of those could just be ignored because it was like a mini boss fight across the map that would get you less rewards than killing a gnoll in the swamp next to your home base. So there was just zero reason to go do it. And I really felt like the quests needed something. The only thing different between the quests, besides the monsters they would spawn, would be a little bit of fluff text, which was nice. I like some fluff text, but because it's an 8-hour game...
You reading that at the 6-hour mark just made me want to strangle you.
Exactly. Yeah. It just adds, you know, that extra amount of time.
Let me pause my turn for a minute to read out the fluff text. No, Justin, I'm going to punch you in the throat. You do that.
Yeah.
It's 6:00. I don't have time for this.
But that's what I felt. Like, the quests, especially the higher level quests, needed something to strive toward. Like I'm thinking maybe... victory points or something along those lines. Just something that would make it worthwhile to do it once you hit level 5. besides throwing yourself at the end boss or running the clock. Because that's once you hit level 5, that's you have two options. That's run the clock and do the PvP at the end, or throw yourself at the end boss until you get lucky and you kill it.
So I think it's really interesting, actually, what Tom said. And this may very well just be something that Tom cuts out. But I don't think I ever really thought about this before. So whenever Adam takes me to play these games, right? So when Adam brought me into WoW and when Adam brought me into Diablo, he was very like, I would get on the computer and all of a sudden my guy would be at level umpteen something. And I'm like, what did you do? And I'm so upset about it.
Power leveled?
And he's like, but you have to get to the very top. I'm like, why? And he's like, because that's when you just start actually playing the game. Like, that's when you start grinding it out. And it's like, no. Like, I find enjoyment in working that out and getting there and like getting better and more powerful and stuff like that. And that you just opened my eyes to a whole new world.
That's a common thing. Like, a lot of people either want to get to the highest level so that they can get all the end game content or like all the unique, you know, gear. Like in Diablo, you want to get all the set items so you can cast like 20 fireballs at once or something with meteors coming down, and other people just enjoy getting, you know, a new thing to play with every time they level up. Mm-hmm. Some new skill or some new just like, you know, item that just dropped, and so you kind of get that progression rather than that quest for the ultimate item.
Yeah, and this game almost did that. It almost tried to be very like, get to the top and grind it. Grind it, baby.
I don't know. But that's the thing. There was nothing really to grind.
No.
There were a few quests that would get you, you know, like the highest level loot. And there were a few quests that would get you kind of set items or prestige items.
Artifacts.
Yeah, that would like, you know, bind on pickup. But they were few and far between. And by the time you hit level 5, even with just some, like, mediocre items, you were probably rolling all the dice anyway. So there was no reason to get, you know, to grind a high-level quest.
Well, you had no room, right?
Yeah.
You have no room to put them anywhere.
So I think that was the main thing. Like, it was fun getting to that point, but mainly just because of the new stuff you could find on the way. The journey was fun. The combat was boring. The end game was boring. Watching another person's turn was
boring.
And I mean, that's the thing. You get two actions. So that's sometimes like you were saying, your turn would be 10 seconds because you just had to move twice because you couldn't get anywhere. And that's it. And there weren't enough dice that you could, because most of the time you could almost be playing this game in separate rooms. Like the Horde player could be playing something, one set of the game, and the Alliance could be playing another set of the game, and the only time you would need to interact would be yelling at each other if you were in this area so they could gank you.
Yeah, and to make sure that somebody's not fast playing somebody else and getting more turns, really.
Yeah, I mean, because the neutral monsters that spawned were completely random, the quests were completely random, nothing really affected each other besides PvP potentially, but no one ever did that because there was no gain to it. So I don't know. Maybe they just needed a 42 dice so you could play turns at the same time.
Well, and it didn't seem like the game really encouraged you to go PvP either.
No.
Right? Like, at no point in time was I looking at the board and saying, oh my god, I'm getting overrun with monsters, but let me go take out those two little gray guys over there. Like, let me go find them and hurt them.
Let me spend 4 turns trying to run them down.
Yeah, like that.
Rather than getting experience and items.
Yeah, there was absolutely nothing that drove you in that direction at all.
Yeah. I mean, I still enjoyed it, but Tom, what do you think?
I mean, I don't really have much to add from what you guys did. I mean, it was long, too long. I mean, again, most board games are good because you have, like, even some bad board games are good because you share them with good people, and, like, that's part of the magic of it, and that's kind of the only magic of this one, was that you're with cool friends, and you're playing a game and you're having a good time, except like, man, just such a slog.
What was the first thing you said to me as we were playing it? It was like your first thoughts. I think it was, you said something like, you know what? I couldn't care any less about what you're doing on your turn.
Yeah. You were, because we were, Justin and I were playing a 2v2, like you pick two characters and just play them both just to get a feel for the rules. And as we were playing, I was like, man, I just don't give a shit what you're doing. And that's not good. That's fine if you're playing a video game, but when you're playing a board game, you should really be interested in what the other person's doing. Mm-hmm. It definitely shows its like age and like style of the time, with just like a big box full of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, probably the reason I got it. I was like, it was super cool at the time. But Debbie's pointing at one of the big boxes full of stuff that's
new.
But it works. Like that game
is so good. By the way, is Mechs vs. Minions, put out by Riot Games. It's a League of Legends board game.
Yeah, Mechs vs. Minions is actually a really fun game, and it comes with a bunch of stuff. So you're right. Like there's no real excuse there.
That's a game where you're actively concerned about what your teammates with the other players are doing.
Yeah, that's a co-op game though as well. So
I mean, even Conan, right below it, you're concerned about what the other guy's doing.
Right, because he's throwing axes at your face.
Rip.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like I don't have a ton more to add. Like partway through, I was just like, I think I asked you guys, like, should we just pack this up?
Yeah.
I think you asked us at like the 4-hour mark.
Yeah. And
we're like, nah, we'll keep going. Like, nah, we gotta reach the end soon,
and that's,
right?
That's one thing that if you get into board games, I definitely encourage that once in a while you have to look around and say, like, yo, are we not having any fun? And I think we weren't having a lot of fun, but we still tried to stick through it.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been better if we hadn't. So
We were all trying to be professional.
And that's exactly, like, I think we have a responsibility that if you're going to try to review
something... No one's listening
to
this.
That's why
I try.
But if you are,
thank you.
But if you are, thank you.
For the win.
We appreciate your patronage.
Yeah. Please get us more listeners. No, but I understand, but like, one of the things I think Justin mentioned was like the end game was boring. We wouldn't know because we didn't get there, but you can tell that it's going to be boring because it's the same as the rest of the game, where, you know, you're leveling up, which is fun because everybody, you know, most people like a progression in something. You get new stuff and you see how it works together. If you had played this 16 times, that part is probably also boring because there's no more surprises. When you're leveling up, you're sort of like, what goes well together? And then you're like, ah, yeah, I'm rolling shitloads of dice. And you're feeling good about that. That's fun. You know, being able to come up with combinations that are just totally busted is great. And that mechanic is done in other games just as well. And they don't take 7 hours to play or whatever. Like you said, the combat's dull. You know, there's no other, and there's nothing other than move around, do a combat. So no, it's overall too long, too boring.
So not keeping it then.
Well, for jumping right into the reviews, no, I wouldn't keep this.
It is review and scoring.
All right, we're jumping right into the reviews then. No,
and you're still not keeping it.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't keep this. Like you said, I'm too goddamn old to spend 6 hours on a game that I didn't really enjoy.
If you wanted to finish it.
Yeah, we didn't even finish it. Like, and it doesn't even, like, I know you like shitting on Twilight Imperium, but I mean, it used to fit 8 people if you wanted to do it all weekend. Like this,
sure, sure.
This plays up to 6. I couldn't imagine how long that would take. And it was just, there's not enough there. There's not enough variety. Whereas like a game that is just as long, Twilight Imperium, does have more stuff going on. There's like a political aspect, there's like area control, there's, you know, trying to build up ships, all the races are different. This has like glimmers of that, but just isn't as good as a use of time as that is. It's just no, I would not be keeping it. Justin?
It's a game that I want to kind of like. It has a lot of things that I like. I like that kind of very light RPG feel to a board game. It's got some co-op elements because you are on a team against another team, which I also enjoy. I enjoy games that put you on teams against another team. It gives you someone to, you know, talk strategy with, or, you know, just heckle the other team with. Like, it gives you that sense of what board games should be, which is playing games with friends. But it didn't have enough of anything that really stuck with me. It was okay. I wanted to like it more than I actually did, which just makes me more frustrated with it.
If it was like an hour long, I think it would be like
an hour long would probably be maybe too short. Like, but a nice like if it
were,
maybe
yeah, if it if were it was a half shorter half the game. Length. And maybe you cut it down from 30 to 15 and like double XP
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, like
maybe it goes a bit faster.
And I mean, it wasn't necessarily the length that got me. Like, I don't mind playing a long-ass game.
You know me, I don't mind a long game either.
You know,
give the kids to the babysitter for the weekend, and then you can play.
Like, I am more than happy to just like. Yeah. Put away a weekend for like some Twilight Imperium or a big game of Axis and Allies or something.
Nah, fuck that game. That game's dumb.
So it's not the length that got me. It was more just the tedium. It was just kind of tedious. You would either have something to do on your turn or you wouldn't. There was never like something small that you could always do. It was just, well, I have to move or I have to fight. And these quests, the only thing different is the amount of I'm going to get from them. So I'll just look at it and min-max it. And then I'm level 5 now, and I guess I'll just throw myself at the end boss until one team wins. And that was it. There was not enough nuance. Like I wouldn't even mind if it was longer, but at least it had something. Some worthwhile doing.
Some just, variety.
Like, some variety or some sort of like slow progression to the end game. It was just, I'm level 5. Okay.
Grind it, man.
Now I'm just going to throw myself at this guy, rolling the maximum number of dice because I can't get anything else, so no equipment doesn't matter. And the game will end eventually. Yeah. That was it. I could not recommend this game to anyone. There are no thumbs to give to this game. Wow. I have no thumbs.
No ups or downs.
Yeah, it was just... I didn't hate it. I wanted it to be better. It's just... It's mediocre. I can't recommend it to anyone. Thumbless.
Right, so you're... So it's either... There's two thumbs, right? You have them either down...
Or they're up.
Or they're up.
Yes.
And you're just like...
I didn't hate this game. Like, there's no down thumbs.
No, because you have one. You've done one thumb up instead of two thumbs
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Oh no. Well, I've done a thumb down.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay.
With exploding
He's
unicorns.
Not a victim of some sort of horrific action.
I have thumbs. There are just no thumbs to give. It's
just flat.
It's flat. It's
just like the game.
Just like the game. Yeah. Yeah. It's I can't think of anyone to recommend this to besides. I don't know.
Tom.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
And that's already failed.
I mean, it's maybe if you played the game a lot, but if you played the game a lot, I would just rather go play WoW for 6 hours than play this.
Yeah, I'm actually not going to lie that would be much
Wait, are we talking Warlords of Draenor WoW, or are we talking like Lich King Drow?
I only played...
A huge difference.
I only played 10 days of the 14-day free trial they gave me. So that is my experience in WoW.
Fair enough.
God, you didn't even finish the last 4 days. That kind of sounds like the board game.
Yeah. Maybe that's just my WoW experience
in a nutshell.
Maybe our problem
is we don't finish.
hey.
Anyway...
yeah, it's
Debbie.
I wanted to like it more than I did. I couldn't. It shows promise. Like, there's a good game somewhere in there, and I'm sure there are games that have developed from this that are well done.
Yes,
just, this game isn't it.
I think it's too old to have promise at this point. I think that it's died.
Yeah, if a designer were to look at this,
yeah,
I'm sure they could see the promise. In its systems, it needs some it needs some work.
Yeah. For myself, I give it a 2 out of 5. I'm on a 5-star rating. I am not willing to give it a 1. I'm not going to say stay away from it.
Out of 5 daggers.
Yeah. Not the one that fell on Bilbo's head earlier, but
5 dice review.
So I give it 2, which is basically don't buy it. If someone makes you placate them.
If someone makes you play it like you.
Well, because I think it comes down to the fact that it's...
If you have to play it for a board game podcast, tell them to go fuck themselves and run.
No, I'd be very... Part of the reason is why I'm telling you not to stay away from it and to play it if somebody really wants you to is because I'm very curious to know who that person is that really wants you to play it. But, I mean, just don't put your money into it. Sure, if somebody is bonkers over this game, play it with them because maybe they're seeing something we're not. I don't know. I got nothing, man. It's a 2.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a bad experience.
It's not. It's just not well done.
Yeah.
If you are one of those people that is really keen on playing it, at Mrs. Wynn, WHYN, you can spam her timeline. Myself, at the end of the day, this game was mediocre at best. It gets a mediocre rating. It gets a 5. It's you know, like I said, it definitely brought back some nostalgia with the theme of like some of the older, earlier days of Warcraft. It was fine. The problem, of course, is that it's way too long. The rules are too confusing. And there's no payoff at the end of it. There's no payoff that I could find at the end of it.
I'm surprised you gave Unstable Unicorns 3.5 and you gave this a 5.
I would rather play... If you put those two games down in front of me and said you have to play one of the two of them, 99 times out of 100 I'm playing WoW, the board game.
Even though Unstable Unicorns could take you...
Hours?
Much less.
Well, it did take us hours.
It did, actually. You're right. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Okay. You're right.
Yeah.
Kudos.
99 times out of 100, I'm playing WoW. Unstable Unicorns.
At least you can look at the miniatures. You get to roll some dice.
You
can read the fluff text. You know, there's a lot of that.
There's a lot of fluff text in Unstable
Unicorns. I do. That was probably the high point of the game was the fluff text.
For you. Yeah.
What do you have to plug? What's your Twitter handle?
What do I have to plug? All I have to plug right now is my Twitter at Team Rage Tom. You can find me there. I might be using it when this goes live. We'll have to see. No website yet. I have no other social media. Don't look for me anywhere else, really. but hit me up on Twitter if you've got some questions or comments. That's probably fine. Justin?
I also have no social media, which maybe I'll look at if people actually want to get a hold of me. Otherwise, if you want to get a hold of me, please harass Adam. and don't worry, he'll give you his spiel in just about 5 seconds.
No, me first, man. Me first. Man,
if you give out your social media and people are actually able to get a hold of you and I am not with your phone number, then that's going to be a pretty big indictment on this whole process.
Hey, you're able to get a hold of me on my phone number.
Yeah, just ask your girlfriend.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow. And you can reach me at Mrs. Wynn, MRSWHYN on Twitter. Otherwise, I think... Adam here is probably your best bet of getting a hold of any of us.
Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, For the Win, FORTHEWHYN. Twitch specifically is twitch.tv/ForTheWin, a variety streamer, story-driven games, all of that good jazz. Website, forthewin.com. Again, you may or may not have stumbled across this podcast off the website. So it's, you know, there's
a thing.
It's a thing. There it is. So yeah, come get at me in all the places. And yeah, man, that's her.
And if you liked this episode or any of our previous episodes, please like and subscribe on you know, on wherever you found this. 5-star reviews on iTunes or whatever your player or your host happens to be. You know, leave a nice review or leave a bad review and still give us 5 stars. That'll work out fine for me.
We'll still read it.
For the first little while, we'll read all of them because there's probably not many of you actually doing this.
We'll read all dozen.
We'll read all one of them. It'll be magical.
I'll take that on.
You'll take that on?
I will.
Debbie will read them.
I will read them.
She's going to read the shit out of those reviews. Yep.
And I will address them with you guys.
She will put all feedback, negative feedback, right into the garbage so that it doesn't hurt my fragile ego.
That's correct.
Exactly.
Another thing to do, guys, is share the podcast. If you have a friend, a family member, a coworker, anything like that who you think might find some value out of our content, then share it with them. Get them to listen. You know, drop the link off to them. Get it out there.
Hopefully we give you guys a chuckle.
Do your friends like 25 minutes of bitching about rule books? Then this podcast is for them.
This is it.
This is the best.
We can put in a little like 10-minute marker there, so you can just skip 10 minutes ahead if you don't care about the rules.
Tom, what are we doing next week?
Let me go hit up the old randomizer. Deception, murder in Hong Kong. I thought that saying deception, murder in Hong Kong would prompt somebody else to say something.
I love it.
So, next week, deception, murder in Hong Kong. Please join us then for a review of this spicy party mystery game.
That's fantastic.
Bye.
Looking forward to this one.
Looking forward to it. All right. Well,
bye.
Adios, amigo.
Ciao. All
right. That last one, though, Debbie.
What?
Ciao.
Ciao.